Good evening, everybody. It's good to see everybody. I was probably going to wait a couple minutes and see if we had anybody else coming in. But I know Roger's not going to be coming in because he called me earlier and told me that he wouldn't be in because he was headed toward the airport to fly home and had fallen and broke her hip. So they were going to give her surgery today and put pins in. And so I told him I would forward that to everybody so that everybody would be putting them in their prayers. And yeah, she's got a job and she's suffering from dementia too, and they're afraid that this the medications that she'll be on will probably make her dementia a little worse, because that's what pain meds do. But tonight I'm going to be doing a study on religion, and get back in order here. And we'll see how it goes. Let me check and see which one of my recorders is going to be recording here. Hello, 1, 2. Okay, that one's going. All right, just making sure I got a recording going on this end. That way, if we lose a connection, I'm just going to keep going, and that way we'll have a solid study that we can post online. And as Ron and Chip would say, we encourage all speakers to do that. That way, if there is an interruption in it, the speaker can go on and finish out the study, and we can put it online. But today is the 24th of February, and I'm Tony McCurry, CBG Tony. And again, I'm going to be doing a study on religion and faith. And because they both go hand in hand, and whatever your religion in, that's also the faith that you have that's following it up. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You. Thank You, dear Lord, for this day. Lord, for all those blessings that we see, Lord, especially those that we don't. Lord, we thank You for Your Son and that shed blood that He shed for mankind. And Lord, we thank You for that You did for the body from before the foundation of the world, dear Lord. Lord, I ask that You be with me, be with these clay lips of mine, to deliver a message, Lord, to someone, whether it's here online or someone at a later date that might listen to this message and get something out of it and get a little better understanding of Scripture, rightly divided. Lord, it's my will to do Your will. Lord, to do what You would have me to do, to say what You would have me to say. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Okay, like I said, the title of my study is Religion and Faith. And like I said before, religion is backed up by the person's faith. And we'll see in Scripture how religion is used and how the Apostle Paul uses it. And also, it's found in James as well. But it's found, religion is used 5 times as the word religion. And it's used with two Greek forms. One Greek form is threskia, is used 4 times. And the other Greek form is eudaismos, it's used 2 times. Well, threskia is a religious observance the outward ceremonial service of religion, the external form, as opposed to eusobia. Now, eusobia, now I'm getting this from the Critical Lexicon. Eusobia is the gospel scheme, godliness and holiness. You notice it says opposed to. And it's also opposed to theosobia, which is the worship of God. And an example there would be 1 Timothy 2:8-10. Excuse the dog, we've got a loud dog in here. Says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becoming professing godliness. You notice that's the opposite of religion, with good works. And also, eulobia, it's reverence, by implication, dread or fear. In Hebrews, that's used in Hebrews 12:28-29, where it says, wherefore we receive a king which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And that's reverence. And you notice again, that is opposite of religion. So the Critical Lexicon plainly states that religion is the opposite of godliness, or that is revered for God. There's two ways of destroying Christianity. One is to deny it, and the other is to displace it. I would say that Satan seeks to displace Christianity. Ritualism or religion may be of use in the youthful stage, either of the world or the individual. In Acts, the form is used in 26. It's going to be in 5, but I'm going to read 26:1-5. Now the apostle is appeared to Agrippa here, and says, then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself, because Paul is going to come before Agrippa and give his example of why he's there. And then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, that Agrippa answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all things wherefore I am accused of the Jews. Now, what he's accused of, he gets in Acts 24, in 5, for we have found this man a pestilent fellow, and moreover a sedition among all Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes, who hath gone about to profane the temple. Now, this is the accusation that's brought against Paul. And then Paul here in 26 says that, "I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all things, wherefore I am accused of the Jews. In 3, especially because I know thee to be expostulator in questions which are among the Jews, wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently." In 4, "my manner of life from my youth, which was the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, known all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify, after the most straitest sect of our religion, that's Thracia, I lived as a Pharisee." Again, that's the outward ceremonial services. So, Paul was Pharisee of Pharisees. He said it over and over again in his writings. In Galatians 1, 13 and 14, Paul just giving his credentials and how he was an apostle of or by no man, but by Christ and God who raised him from the dead. In Galatians 13 and 14, yes, he was Hebrew of Hebrews also. "For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion." You see, everybody knew Paul as part of the sect of the Pharisees, because he went out, he had papers to jail people. "How that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited the Jews' religion." This is the second time. Eudosmos. "Yeah, above many my equals in mine own nation, being more excellently zealous of the traditions of my father." Again, this goes back to his religious teaching that he was following. And this was his faith at that time. And he would be willing to put his life on the line for that religion, because he put a lot of other people's lives on the line for it. There's no telling how many Christians the Apostle Paul killed or put in a position to die because of their belief in Christ. The Jews' religion, as the worship at the time of Christ, had degenerated into the Jews' religion. So now the worship of Christ has become the religion of Christendom. And that, in speaking of his persecutions, Acts 9, 1 and 2, "And Saul, yet breathing out accusations and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired him letters to Damascus." And we know that in the road to Damascus is where the apostle found Christ, seen him face to face, or blinded by the light. And desired Damascus to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. This is what the apostle did in his religion. This is what he was to do. And in James, it's also used 2 times. In James 1, 26 and 27. Now, James, we know, is the brother of Christ, or the brother of Jesus. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion, this will be the Greek form thrasakia, his religion is vain. And he says in 27, pure religion, this is undefiled religion, pure religion, thrasakia, and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now this don't sound anything like the religion that the Apostle Paul was doing before he became an apostle. This is more like the religion that the Apostle Paul would have followed, if he called it a religion, after his conversion. So there's still one more word, Greek form, I'm sorry, that's left to finish it up. And the Apostle Paul uses it one time in his prison epistles. But the word isn't religion. Let's turn to Colossians. Yeah, the word is in Colossians. Let's turn to Colossians 2. And let's look in 2:18. Now, I will be reading 18 through 23, but the Greek form is in 2:18. The Apostle Paul says, "Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worship of angels, entreating into those things which he had not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind." Let's look for that for just one second, okay? Let no man beguile you. That word beguile is the Greek form katabrebia. And it's to outward the price against, to defraud of salvation, and the voluntary. Let's look at that word. That word is philo. It's to determine as an adjective upon the subjective impulse, whereas 10:14 properly denotes rather a passive equivalence to the objective consideration. It's choose or prefer or to delight in. It's a Hebraism. So when we look at this in that form, we can look at it the way Wiest put it in his writings. Let me get up here for a second. Wiest put it, see if I got it. I didn't copy. I lost it. Where'd it go? Well, we says, "Let no one as a judge declare you unworthy of a reward, taking diligent in a self-imposed humility and worship of angels, scrutinizing minutely the things he has seen, being futilely puffed up by the mind of his flesh." And also in the NASB, "Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by diligently in self-abasement and worshiping of angels, taking his stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind." But now, again, we still haven't got to my form yet that the Apostle Paul used referring to religion. When we look at the Greek forms that the Apostle Paul wrote here, the word, English word worship, thrasakia, the same Greek form that he used in Galatians that I read prior, and also in Acts. So, the Apostle Paul is, in his language, saying, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and word and religion of angels, an outward expression of angels. Because at this time, the Colossians were being defrauded by none other than the same people that kept giving Paul a hard time, the sect of the time. They all worshipped angels at the time because they followed that through of the Old Testament. The angels were used as messengers to bring forth the message to what God has for them. So they were worshiping the angels themselves, and we all know that through the studies that Ronnie's done on angels, that not a single angel wanted to be worshipped. They required the worship to go to God. So by mankind worshiping angels as they do today, and they did then, it is not of God. So, I got to pull up my sword searcher here for a second, because I want to read 18, Colossians 2, 18, down to 23. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head from which all body joints and bands have nourished, ministered, and knit together, increased with the increase of God. So he's saying, don't be worshiping angels. Hold the head, which is Christ. Forget angels. I mean, angels are a beautiful thing, but don't worship the angels. Worship the head. And 20, wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which are to the perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. This is what the Apostle Paul wants our religion to be right there. Religion itself is an outward expression of a person's faith. So, on a daily basis, I see it in the barbershop, and I'm sure everybody on this board sees and deals with the religious community on a daily basis as well. But I just felt that I wanted to look into religion pretty much and see what Scripture had to say about it. I've heard speakers say they hate religion. And as a whole, I do too. Because nobody in the secular world understands Scripture the way a body member does. Everybody has to have their, I don't know, laying on of hands or baptisms. They have to belong to a 5,000 member church and follow their ordinances that church requires them to follow. And then when we get to faith, which is like I said, an outward working of that person's religion. Barney said the other morning, and it kind of stuck pretty hard, that once you accept it as truth, you own it. That's probably about as factual as you can get, because we have people having accidents on a daily basis. We have people dying of cancer on a daily basis. And we come to know that whatever these people believe at their last breath, God is going to hold them accountable for that. So what you hold is truth, God is going to account you for that. If your religion is to get baptized on a monthly basis because others are, or get your feet washed, and I know I'm not looking at anybody here, I'm just, because I have seen it in the past and see it in the barbershop, laying on of hands and such. But if that's your faith, thank God that He's the one that's going to judge you, because I'm glad that I'm not. You know, mankind is the worst judge there is. And I thank God that Christ is going to be the judge of mankind and me, because I don't want anybody to judge me, because I'm chief of the sinners. I feel like I'm chief of the sinners just as Paul does. But faith is believing God and putting it into action. In the prison epistles, it's used 50 times. Now, religion was used 5 times, but when you use all of the Greek forms, it comes up to be 6 times, which is associated with man, which ain't a good thing. Most of the time, it's not. But 5 times is grace multiplied by 10. So, the numbers are amazing how they work out that way. But when we look at in Hebrews, which is the faith chapter, Hebrews 11:1 pretty much sums up what faith is. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What in the world is this substance, and what in the world is that evidence that's so profound here? The substance of things hoped for. What is your hope? My hope is for the appearing of the Lord and Savior. My hope is for... Let me get this straight. My hope is to be at the appearing with my Lord and Savior. That is my hope. My hope is for a resurrection at that day that the Lord calls forth the body. Now, when you look at the resurrection, I'm looking for the out resurrection from the dead, Brandon, to where I'm called up before the John 3:16 crowd, because the body of Christ, I believe, is going to be called up at the appearing in the upon heavenly, when Christ's body is filled to the fullest. Now, that's my substance. That's my substance, is the resurrection power waiting to be fulfilled at the appearing. Now, the evidence of things not seen. What in the world is that evidence? It's Christ and His dunamis power. The power, the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. Can you see that? Can you visually see the Holy Spirit? No, we can't. Can you see answered prayer? The evidence of things not seen. The only person that can see answered prayer is the one that asked the Father for it. I know I have answered prayers almost on a daily basis. I know that I have answered prayer just being here, okay? So my faith has more substance than the strongest steel there is. And my faith has more evidence than anything that can be seen in front of anybody. And then in Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There's so many religions. See, this is the kicker. There's so many religions that either don't believe in Jehovah or Christ. But yet, they're classified as a religion because they practice stuff of their own God. So how does religion fit in God's eyes? We know how it fits. It don't. In Timothy, the apostle gives the advice that we follow. In First Timothy 1:4, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying which is in faith. In 1 Timothy 1:19, that we are holding faith and a good conscience, with some having put away faith, having made shipwreck. Does that sound religious, the shipwreck part of it? I would think so. I would think that has religion written all over it. In 1 Timothy 4:1. Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. That sounds like that worshiping of angels that I was just talking about a while ago with the religion, don't it? So they're seduced by the world and the lust thereof. And maybe lust is a bad word, but it's the lust of the desire of, you know, things, worldly things, and doctrines of devils. In 1 Timothy 6:10, this is out there. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and have pierced them through with many sorrows. Back to 4:1, I want to read from Wiest. And I'm going to, this is basically going to be reading from 1 Timothy 4:1-5. If I could get my copier and paster going over here. See if I'm going to try it again. See if it works this time. Because I tried to drag it a while ago and I lost the whole thing. No, it wouldn't do it. Anyway, y'all going to get to hear me read without falling asleep. Okay? But the Spirit says expressly that in the last strategic epochal periods of time, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to spirits that lead one to error and to teachings of demons, doing this through hypocrisy of liars branded in their own conscience, forbidding to marry, commanding abstinence from foods which things God created for those to receive with thanksgiving, who are believers and who have a precise and experiential knowledge of the truth. Because every created thing of God is good, and not even one thing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, or it is considered, for it is consecrated through God, God's word, and through prayer. And in 1 Timothy 4:12, back to the King James Version, the Apostle Paul tells Timothy, "Let no man despise your youth." But this is religion. Okay, we have to have one. "Be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." And then in 2 Timothy 3:10, the Apostle Paul says, "Thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, purpose, and faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience." And we all know in Ephesians, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, the gift of God." In Philippians 1:27, again, our religion here. "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come see you or be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law," this is Paul, "but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." That is our faith, which is his faith. That's how we are to, if we were to say that this is it, but I'm not going to boast a religion. Because scripturally, the English word religion is a dirty word. In Colossians 1:23, "If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, where Paul is made a minister." And in 2:12, "Buried with him in baptism." This would be our religious baptism. We're buried with him in baptism, okay? We don't get wet or anything else. We're buried with him in baptism, wherein we are also risen with him through the faith and the operation who hath raised him from the dead. I guess that's pretty much it, but I want to read 2 Timothy 4:2-5 to finish it up. Amen, Brandon. This is what we are to do. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine or teaching, didaskalia. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away, pervert their way from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry. And I'm going to jump to 4:8 and say, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not only me, but unto all them that also love his appearing. If a body member is to be known by their religion, it is to walk according of Paul's didaskalia, Paul's teaching. I want to thank you guys, and that is my sermon tonight. I want to thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for this again. Thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for those that are here. And Lord, I thank you for the message, Lord, that you brought forth. And Lord, I ask that you search our hearts. Search our hearts, Lord, for those that might need a healing touch, or Lord, to give us a message to give to someone to help bring forth the mystery. For it's in all these things I ask, dear Heavenly Father, in Christ's name.